In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We all are acquainted with the story of creation, how in the beginning God made everything and it was good, and God made the human race, and he established us in his friendship and gave us the Garden of Eden. And yet we were told that in the Garden of Eden there were two trees we could not eat from, the tree from the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. And yet, through the envy of the devil, sin entered into the world. Adam and Eve hearkened to Satan, they disobeyed God, and they lost God's friendship. And through this act, evil came into the world. Human beings lost their friendship with God. Their intellect and their will were darkened, so they could not make the right choice. Consistently, they could still make some right choices, but not always, and they couldn't see things as they truly were. And because of this, Satan had a free hand over much of the world. Human beings still desire God because we're made for God. Remember the Baltimore Catechism. Why did God make you? Well, he made you for himself. And so we desire God. We seek the supernatural. And yet, because we were outside of friendship with God, because our intellect and our will were darkened, the devil was able to use these holy urges against us and against God. And so false gods multiplied. And through the false gods, the devil brought sin and sinful practices into the world, into the whole world. Doesn't matter whether it was Europe or Asia or Africa, or the Americans. You know, when the first Egyptian pharaohs died, they killed all their servants so that they would have servants in the afterlife, and they were buried with them. The ancient Greeks, if a child was born that was not perfect, they would leave it exposed out on a hill, and that child would die from exposure. You know, we could go through the whole world and see the abominable practices which the devil encouraged in the human race through false religion. Again, old world or new world. In the old world, it tended to be sexual practices. In the new world, it was crimes against life. Because among the peoples of what's now Mexico, they believed in a multitude of gods, and that these gods needed to be propitiated through human sacrifice. When the Great Pyramid in Mexico City was dedicated, over 50,000 sacrifices were made. Wrap your head around that. 50,000 people died to dedicate that pyramid, which is why, you know, when I went down to visit Mexico as a seminarian, and we went to Teotihuacan, and, you know, there are the New Agers praying, you know, and meditating on top of the Great Pyramid of the Sun. You just wanted to walk up to them and shake them and go, did you know what actually happened up here? They would take people to the top of the pyramid, and they would split open their chest, take out their still beating heart, and throw it onto a fire as a sacrifice to keep the sun from going out. Hundreds of thousands of people every year were sacrificed to the false gods in the new world. You know, God can take even events which are not pure and use them to his purpose. You know, how was the gospel spread beyond the boundaries of the Roman Empire? Well, the barbarians invaded. And it was through the barbarian invasion that Christianity was spread beyond the bounds of the Roman Empire. So God took that not good event and made it something very good, used it to spread the gospel. When the Spaniards came to the New World, of course, you know, they weren't saints. Well, there were saints among them. But, you know, not everyone's motivations were perfect. Some people wanted gold. Some people wanted land. Some people wanted gold and land and to spread the gospel. You know, that was one of the motivations of Christopher Columbus, was to spread the gospel to the Indies. It wasn't the only one, but it was one of them. And when the Spaniards came to Mexico, they were horrified by the practices which they encountered. Again, when I visited Mexico, we went to several of the archaeological sites, and on top of one of the pyramids, there was a plaque that the conquistadors had placed commemorating the destruction of false worship and human sacrifice that had occurred on that spot. The Spaniards put a stop to it. And one of the, you say, how could this small army of Cortez defeat the might of the Aztec Empire? Well, it was because most of the subject peoples, the peoples that the Aztecs would wage war against so they could capture their warriors, so they would have people to sacrifice to their false gods. Most of those subject peoples came in on the side of the Spaniards, because the Spaniards didn't offer human sacrifices. You know, they may not have been saints, but they were better than what they had before. And the Spaniards, when they took over, they didn't force the natives to become Catholic. Because as you know, as well as I do, you can't put a gun to someone's head and tell them what they're going to believe. It wouldn't be a valid baptism. If I said to you, convert or die, and you got baptized, that would be an invalid baptism. You can't force someone to believe. Now, the Spaniards did put a stop to the pagan worship. You know, no more sacrifices. Pagan temples were largely destroyed and supplanted with Christian churches. But it was up to the natives whether they would convert or not. And because it had been an invasion, many of them didn't convert. They didn't believe us. Ah, this is just more, you know, the people in charge just want us to believe what they believe. Now, some people did believe. People like Juan Diego. That's his baptismal name. I'm not even going to try to pronounce his Nahuatl or Aztec name. That's like trying to speak Welsh. It's not easy. You spit a lot. Juan Diego and his uncle, Juan Bernardino, they converted. Juan Diego was a catechist. He was someone who taught the faith to his fellow natives. But they didn't get too far. We know the story. One day, Juan Diego was going by the hill of Tepeyac, where there had been a great temple to an Aztec goddess, one who was worshipped through the sacrifice of children, one whose emblem was the stone serpent. And a beautiful lady appeared to him. What did that lady look like? Well, look right over there. We're blessed that our friend Father Javier Verin, who's the pastor down at St. Joseph the Worker in West Jordan, he has friends down in Mexico, he got us that beautiful image, which is a laser reproduction of the Tilma. You know, short of going down to visit Mexico City, that's as close as you're going to get to seeing what Our Lady looked like when she appeared to St. Juan Diego. And she appeared as an Aztec. Well, does that mean she was an Aztec? No. God will appear to us and talk to us in a way that we can understand. And everything about her told that she was, in fact, of divine origin. And Juan Diego knew. And when she told, said, go to the bishop and tell him I want a church built here. You know, Juan Diego said, no, that bishop's not going to believe me. And so he went, and the bishop didn't believe him. But, you know, several times, you know, she appeared to him, Juan Diego, four times. And none of the times, except the last one, the bishop believed him. In fact, towards the last time, Juan Diego was going to get some medical help for his uncle, Juan Bernardino. And he was trying to avoid the lady. because he needed to take care of his uncle. So he went around the other side of the hill. It didn't work. You can try and avoid God, but it never works. And Juan Diego said, the bishop doesn't believe me. How am I going to prove it to him? Because the bishop wants proof. You know, we can make fun of bishops wanting proof. You know, we look at things like Fatima or Lourdes. We always think of the approved apparitions and say, those bishops are unbelievers because they want proof. We forget that there are false apparitions too. There's one that took place in, I can tell you about some other time, that took place in Wisconsin in the last century, and it was not good at all. In fact, it was diabolic in origin. And it was a good thing that the bishop looked at it with skepticism. And so that's part of their jobs, is to discern what is really going on and what isn't. And so that's why Our Lady said, all right, we'll give him proof. And there were these beautiful Castilian roses. And she told Juan Diego to gather up the roses and take them to the bishop. And so he had his tilma, his poncho, kind of looks a little bit like a chasuble. He gathered up all of the roses, put them into his tilma, and he went to the bishop. And he told the bishop what had happened. And the bishop said, show me the roses. And Juan Diego drops the tilma. The roses come out. And upon his tilma is the image of Our Lady, the lady who appeared to him. And the bishop believed. Oh boy, did he believe. Now they built a church. Pretty soon the church wasn't big enough, so they built another one. Then that one wasn't big enough, so they built another one. Then that one started to sink into the ground, so they built the current one. And the one that was sinking in the ground wasn't big enough either. If you really want to see profound faith, go to Tepeyac, and you'll see the little abuelitas, the little Mexican grandmothers, coming on their knees on cobblestones to see the tilma of Our Lady. In fact, they have to put a moving walkway there, because if they didn't, the abuelitas wouldn't make room for anyone else. So they have to keep them moving. The bishop believed, and that image didn't just make the bishop believe, but it made the native peoples believe too, because they looked at it and said, everything that the Spaniards were telling us about their God is true. You have the woman blocking out the sun. Who was the god of the Aztecs, their principal god, the one that all the hearts were sacrificed to? The sun god. Well, she's more important than him. She's standing upon the moon, another image of an Aztec god. And she is with child. This is the mother of this Jesus that the Spaniards told us about. The Jesus who came to save all people from their sins, to free all people, whether they be in the new world or the old world, from the slavery to Satan. Because everyone, whether they're Spaniard or indigenous, whether they're Anglo, or whether they're from Canada, or even Argentina, everyone is a child of God, and God's salvation is to be preached to all peoples. This is a great miracle that Our Lady worked, but an even greater miracle was that because of it, millions of indigenous people voluntarily embraced the faith. Became to believe in the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is why this is not a Mexican feast day. Now, certainly, our Mexican brothers and sisters have pride of place today. Why? Because it took place in Mexico. They have treasured the devotion. They have preached the devotion to the rest of us. But Our Lady of Guadalupe is not the Queen of Mexico. She is the queen of the Americas. She is the queen of all of us. Just as the Catholic faith is not a faith simply for Hispanics or for Anglos or for Irish or for Polish or whatever nation you're talking about. That's one of the reasons I became a Catholic, is because it was not a national faith. It was an international faith. It was a church for everybody, regardless of their nation, regardless of the color of the skin, regardless of the language that they spoke. She is the Queen of the Americas, and the message that she speaks, pointing to her son, is a message of hope for all peoples that reminds us all that we are all brothers and sisters by adoption of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.